Welcome back to the Two Dudes, Three Legs podcast with your hosts, Zach Dingy,
Tony Capoletti.
Today, we're sitting down with Tommy Mello. He has built over $240 million in revenue in a garage door service business.
Well, it's 200. We should pass 260 million this year.
Got it.
Yes. Correct him.
It's called A1 Garage Door Service. And what I've learned is who gives a shit about revenue.
So whether you're starting a business, whether you're trying to make a sports career, whatever it is, it all starts believing in yourself. And until you have that, you can't do anything.
Step directly into the storm and fight everything you can. You need to be a warrior.
It's about profit. So we'll finish above 25% of the bottom line.
Wow. Those are nice numbers.
That's incredible for a construction company. That high in bottom line is pretty damn good percentage-wise. So I saw a video of you the other day, and it was one of those guys where they come up to you and they have the mic like kind of in the street. I think you might have been in your driveway. I don't know where it was, but he came up to you and he was asking you the difference between a billionaire and a millionaire. And you had a really good response. So do you remember that video? Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah. The response was millionaires read a lot. They do everything right. They're good husbands. They're good fathers. They're good mothers. They work out in the morning. They cold plunge. They're all into their spiritual life. They're good at focusing. They're good at wearing the blinders on one thing. Billionaires, what they figured out is how to build teams. They hire top down. They recruit better. They know who to call when. They got the biggest Rolodex. And they just hang out in the right rooms. It's like they might not get the answer on the first call, but they're going to know somebody with the right answer. They're better networked, and your network is your net worth. So I think when you're a millionaire, you're like, yeah, I can work hard and I can get my goal. When you're a billionaire, you're like, okay, who do I know? Who's my network that's going to get me right to the top answer right away? And it is true. And I will say there's some billionaires that still work out every day. I mean, Jeff Bezos is looking better than he's ever looked. But actually, my chef used to work for Jeff Bezos. But moral of the story is I love millionaires. I love billionaires. I love everybody. But success leaves clues. I was on the phone the other day with a guy that's doing my landscaping. I got referred 6 times to the same company in 1 week. It's called Foxterra. Massive company in California that he just do the design. And Bree was looking at their design. She goes, I'm just going to check them out on Pinterest. She goes, oh my God. She typed in landscape design, pool design, you know, all that shit that we're doing. And this company came up on the top 30 searches of Pinterest. So what do? I say, dude, I'm in the garage industry, very similar to landscaping. Who do you use for Pinterest? He goes, here's the name of the company. We love this gal. She's amazing. I call her up. She goes, they probably didn't tell you this, but they're getting 22,000 unique visitors from Pinterest to their website per month. Wow. And the service was like $1,500. So I'm like, okay, sign me up 10 times. But that's what I do. I'm always looking for the answers that are right in front of us. Sometimes we don't see it, even though we're this close. We're 3 feet from gold. We're right near the end zone. And all you got to do is ask. And I think so many people, they're just so stuck in their ways. They're afraid to ask. You want to know how to get the top of name something. If you want to know Yelp or Angie's List, or you want to figure out how to get to the top of anything, you make a phone call. Who's at the top? Who's the top roofing company in New York? Where are you guys from exactly?
Poughkeepsie.
So I would call the top roofer by far at the top of Google, organic, GMB, LSA, PPC. And I'd say, hey, listen, you guys are absolutely incredible. Can I stop by and see you guys? Buy them lunch. Tell them you read their books, whatever they are. Try to get them a couple jobs. And they'll just ask a lot of questions. They'll give you everything because you're not in a competition.
Right. So it all goes back to the old adage, work smarter, not harder, right? So you're saying you could outsource anyone who would try to outwork you.
I'm saying a lot of people are going to outwork me. I don't pride myself on being the hardest worker. Mm-hmm. I pride myself on delegating the strongest. Anybody that says they're not going to outwork me, there's only a finite time of hours in a day. So what does that mean? You can work 20 hours and get 4 hours of sleep. If I delegate correctly, I can work thousands of hours a day. You know, you can't compete because you never learn to be a leader and control a team. And he who can build the best team will win. And so I hire the best of the best. And I'll tell you what, Elon Musk has the same hours that you have in your day. He out-delegates. He's got better people. Richard Branson, if he wants to start a company, he finds the biggest company in the world at what he's looking to do, and he hires the COO and gives him equity. Not the CEO. He hires the chief operations, right? And that's his whole game plan. Yeah. And so when we're small, we can't afford to hire a bunch of people. First, we hire an assistant. Then we're like, okay, finally we can hire someone for payroll and accounting. But when you let this cup fill up and you've got a lot of money and resources and knowledge and the metaphorical scars that you've made the mistakes, you could raise capital, you could do all cool things, but then you hire this one individual will build the team. He's already built teams. And so many people, they don't understand that. And here's another misconception is, like if I asked you guys, when do you want to sell your business? Anybody that says more than 3 years is not very educated. They go, oh yeah, we're going to keep grinding for 10 years. Well, you're going to get a divorce. Your kids are going to grow up without a dad that's never present. Oh yeah, dude, what about you? You spent 17 years. Yeah, I started with nothing and I made a lot of mistakes. And I can't change the past, but I can change the future. So I think you should look at your business only as an asset, and you're trying to grow that asset. And anything more than a five-year plan, I say three-year. Anything I'm involved in that I invest in is three-year, we're out. And we're going to run as fast as we can, and we're going to hit. But you take the chips off the table, that money's working just as hard for you, and now you're not all in on one thing.
That's interesting. There's a lot of things you said there, but I just want to say one thing. I have a coach, another guy who's in the solar industry who's built $100 million plus a year business in solar. And he says, you never need more money. You need more people. People are the answers to all your problems. And it's been true for my entire career here, and I couldn't agree more. But the second thing you said, which is interesting, is you think in five-year spans, or your business planning is in a 3 to 5 year span, which I think contradicts a lot of business planning I've heard. So talk to me about that. Why 3 to 5 years? Why do you say that and not a long-term play, 10, 15, 20 years?
I will have at least 20 businesses doing over $100 million in 5 years. Why the people I see that are grinding that say they want to do this? Well, if you did it, why can't I do it? I go, well, what do you want out of life? Let's just talk about life for a minute. Where is the perfect house? It's probably like 7,000 square feet. It's probably somewhere on a mountain or on a lake or an ocean. What do you really want? You show me your credit card bills and your Google schedule. I'll show you where your priorities are. You say it's all about your kids, but there's no time on there for your kids. You say your wife's your everything, but there's no date nights. You're never bringing her flowers. So you're full of shit. Every single thing you say you're trying for, you're lying about, and you're lying to yourself, so you can't even trust yourself. Because where is your time? Now, you might say, I make it to all my son's baseball games, but you're never present at those games. So what do you want? Because you start with the end in mind, then you reverse engineer it. That's the best way to do it. So you need to buy your house. You want to go on two vacations that matter a year. You want to help out your mother, and you're going to help out your sister, whatever. Then we build that plan, and then we keep up with inflation, and we say, okay, you got a 10-year plan. Let's figure that out in 3 years. Because you think too small. Let's dream a little bigger. Then let's manifest all these things. You want to buy this house? How many bathrooms does it have? Does it got room for a pool table? How deep is the pool? What is it on a busy street, not busy street? How far away is it from the airport? Let's really envision what we want. We're going to envision it. We're going to build a vision board. And then we say, okay, why do you want to get to 100 million? Is it about that you could tell everybody you did it? Is it about you could show off in your Ferrari? Are you doing this for other people? Are you doing it for yourself? Because what's going to make you happy? Now, this doesn't mean you're done. This means you pulled this money off. If you just pulled $5 million, you buy your dream house for $1 million. That's $4 million left. At 12%, which an idiot could get 12% on their money at $4 million, that's $480,000 a year. Without touching the principal, you still got money rolled into the company. Now you've got, I got a phone call on Friday. The guy said, if you could come up with $5 million, I said, when do you need the money? And he knows all day long. He goes, we could buy 25% of this company. There's a partner they want to get rid of. It's in diligence right now for $90 million. So that'd be 22.5. You'll get your money back. We'll split it three ways. I'm like, done. I got my Tommy Mello Ventures, TMV, CFO looking into that. I'm just a money guy. Money will, the deals find me. Crazy deals find me. I'm obviously well-networked. I got a lot of social media, podcasts. But so in 90 to 120 days, there will be a net there of about 18.5 million. So we'll each take 6 million. They win, I win. Then they're going to go try to find me more deals just because the money's there. So it's like you're going to work forever, have pretty good money, enough to kind of, but you're always working. You're working 60 hours a week. You're giving up some Saturdays. You got phone calls randomly. You're going on vacations. Like, let's figure out what you need to live your life today in the next 3 years. Let's grind for the next 3 years and give you the life you've always dreamed of. Because your parents aren't going to be around forever. Your grandma might be still around. Spend the time with her. Take her to Hungary. Take her to Greece. Like, do the things now. Why are you going to wait till you're 50? Like, that, you know, why? Oh, I want that. I got this 20-year plan. What's going on with technology? AI is going to be the biggest disruptor we've ever seen. Call centers are going to be gone by next summer. So it's like, and everybody's got this plan like it's like it was the last 20 years, but this next technology is going right now at the fastest rate ever, like crazy. And if you don't think there's massive disruptions, you don't think World War III could happen or like these crazy things, these disruptors, like now they're doing cloud seeding. Do you not think that that's going to fuck with, excuse my French, but the solar business in California when they make all these clouds? And then all of a sudden now they found out like some areas are flooding because they can't control it. Like you look at the things going on that are out of your control. There's this guy named Adam Coffey. He wrote the Private Equity Playbook. He said he's got a rule of 130. I changed his rule to 120. Add up your net worth, what's in your business, and your age. If it's over 120, you better sell some of it or sell it all. Think about that. Add up your age plus how much money you've got into your core business. If it's over 120, you need to move quickly. Because if something bad happens, his story is he was in a deal for $300 million for a movie theater. COVID happened. That company went bankrupt. It was 1 month before getting paid. Zero money from it.
So your point is really that in the world we live in today, things move fast and you got to get in, get out, and change your whole business structure to be around that because shit changes fast and you have no control over it. So
what can you do in 3 years that you could do in 10? That's my question for you guys. What would it take you 10 years to do that you couldn't do in 3? Any answers?
Not off the top of my head. Not off the top of my head.
Maybe age 10 years. just that one. The beginning of that sounded like a personal attack, and I actually really appreciated it. If I look at your calendar, and there's no time on there for your family, you're full of shit. I love that. I think people need to hear that because you know people lose sight of what's so important. I think social media's got a big part of that. Is like everyone's just going out here and working hard just so they can tell everyone they work hard instead of actually reaping the fruits of their labor and stuff. So I really like that you said that. Your head game seems to be like really on point. Where do you seek mentorship? Because you drop dimes.
Yeah, so 2017, what I figured out is when I started my podcast, one of the third or fourth podcasts was a guy named Al Levy. He wrote this book called The 7-Power Contractor. And he came into my shop and he said, show me your manuals. Show me your standard operating procedures, your checklists. Show me where your brain gets dumped to make sure everybody's doing the same thing with an expected result. I grabbed this old HR manual that we never used. And he says, how do people know how to win when they work for you? How do they explain to their wife how they get paid? What happens if they get a tattoo on the side of their face? How do they request PTO? What happens if the truck gets damaged or the truck breaks down? What's the policy? What happens if a windshield gets cracked? Like, how do you monitor gas? How's inventory replenished? Like, where is all this information? Like, how do you win the game? How do you even learn about the game? How do you move up in the company? And I was like, yeah, we don't have that. And he goes, so it's all in your head, right? He goes, Tommy Mello, you're one of the best firefighters I've ever met. And I don't mean that's a good thing. You get, but it all lives in your head. And he goes, if you'd work with me, he goes, everything will change and you're going to hate it because you're so needed in this company. He goes, it's going to get so boring because everything's going to be going perfect. You're going to get bored. He goes, because you're just used to being the guy that's needed all the time. You could solve anything. And so I said, you're hired. I gave him, over the course of the next year and a half, $350,000. Give or take, lots of money. We built out, now we have 57 manuals, and we have checklists, and we have a data integrity team. And we make sure every door is weighed with a scale under it. And we make sure there's 40 pictures of every job. And we make sure we ask for a review. And Al Levy has got a program that if anybody online does not have, or listening to this, doesn't have manuals, read the 7-Part Contractor. He put it together in a way Power Contractor. The business starts with systems. And then recently another guy I work with is there's this book called Buy Back Your Time, and his name's Dan Martell. And he gave me an outrageous price, crazy money, tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars an hour. And I said, you're hired. And I've been working with him, and he is probably the best mentor. I mean, Al Levy's the best mentor I've ever had. But now I bought back so much time, and I'm spending quality time, and I've invested in my personal life. So now we have the driver and the chef. And I'm not trying to sound like, look, I came from Detroit. I didn't have anything. I never had anything given to me. This is a 2-decade success story. I can tell you all the bad stuff, but I've invested in myself because I said, wait a minute, how much shitty food do I eat? Whether it's Uber Eats fast food or just don't have time to prepare. And I'm eating like a thing of Doritos. And now I'm working on getting my body fat below 10%. I'm focused. My brain's working better. I'm drinking better water. I'm staying away from alcohol, even though I do like to occasionally drink. I'm just trying to go 4 months off here. And my sleep's been better. I'm walking 18,000 steps a day. And I will say, he puts things into perspective. If you could buy back your time, because time is one thing we can't get back. You can't go back and say, I wish my daughter was 7 again. You know, they say you get 18 years with your kids, and I don't have any kids yet, but I'm going to. You get 18 years with your kids, and then the cumulative time over the rest of their lifetime and your lifetime is 1 year. And so, wow. You know, a guy that I was looking at buying his company, he said, what would you do if you were me? Would you bet on yourself? I go, that's a loaded question, man. I go, how old's your son? He goes, 4 years old. I go, if I had a 4-year-old son and I was going to commit to being everything, because when I'm a dad, and I'm not just saying this, that's going to be, you know, I've worked hard to be able to be a father. That's going to come in front of the money and the success, because my success deems on being a good father. And I would say there's no way I would bet on myself for the next 10 years to create an empire at the cost of my son now being 14 and miss those years. That's the honest to God truth. Because I know what it's like to work 7 days a week. I know what it's like to barely make payroll and literally write a check to yourself just to make ends meet. I know what it's like to close down markets because they're not succeeding. I know what it's like to have a guy die, not on the job, but I've had 4 guys die so far that are really close to me. One guy, fireworks accident, top guy in Denver, up and comer, text me 2 hours before this happened, fireworks without in his face, and his head died. Boom, done. And I think it's all about the memories we create. It's all about looking back saying, man, that was fun. I have a lot to show for myself. More, yes, you need money. I think money is important to be able to do things. But I also think those experiences and those stories and those memories are everything.
That really hits home. I actually have a 15-month-old daughter at home, and I'm often battling with myself about, you know, trying to work as hard as I can to make, you know, a great life for her. But, you know, obviously my wife and I would get into some tiffs about, hey, you're not home until 6 o'clock, and she goes to bed at 8. We don't spend any time together. So this is really hitting home right now. What an interesting viewpoint you have. You don't hear a lot of entrepreneurs talk like that. Nobody talks about the home life.
Look, Bree knows I'm going to work, but I'm going to, here's what I would tell you. Be where your freaking feet are. If you say you're going to be home, turn your damn phone off and go on a date. Be with your kids. You know what I would give? I would have gave everything, and I got a great dad. I just wanted to play catch for 15 minutes and have just his full attention. Just go all in. Dad, I just want you. I want you to talk to me. I want you to help me grow up to be a man. I just want to confide in you. I'm going through puberty. There's shit going on. I just need you to be here. Not playing catch, but just be here with me and answering. Like, be here. I know you're like, we used to shoot pool, but like, I knew he was like off into the business realm. Mm-hmm. And so be where your feet are. Like, be all in. And when you go to work, don't worry about, you know, of course you're worried about your daughter and your wife, but also just know, hey, honey, I'm going to be all in on this. I'll give you your time. I'll give you our beautiful daughter's time. I'm going to go all in to build us a life we've never had. And when I'm here, I'll commit this, and it's real, and you live by it. Al Levy's story is his daughter was in seventh grade, and he was in a family business three generations, and his wife, Natalie, she said, you want to hear what your daughter said today, seventh grade? She goes, the teacher called me, and she just wished she got more time with her father. And I was like, what do you mean? I'm there. Back then, it was a big-ass camcorder with a whole VCR shit built into it. And he's like, I come to all this stuff. She's like, but you're not there. The minute you're done recording, you go back and you're putting out fires and you go back into work at midnight and you're never home. And he broke down. And he said, Natalie, I'll make you a deal right now. You give me 2 years to systematize this business and I'll still come to all of our daughter's plays. I'll still be there. But you're right, I'm not present. You give me 2 years. Let me build all the systems. And we're going to go on vacation. And back then there was pagers. So he took her to Hawaii and they're sitting on the beach. And a week went by and he goes, hey, babe. No. Not one page. The business still ran without me. That's a true business. A lot of people own a job. They don't own a business. They go, oh, I own an LLC. Here's another thing that happens is they go, oh, yeah, dude, well, how much did you make last year? Oh, yeah, I made 300 grand. Okay, how much did the business make? I just told you 300 grand. No. You paid yourself 300 grand. The business still should have made 20% profit on top of paying yourself several of six figures, right? And people don't get that. They all walk in a room and talk about revenue. No one cares. Most of those guys are about to go broke.
So true. We see it so much in the solar industry. There's a lot of big companies with big numbers that you look at the inside, you open up the books, and they're losing money every month. Or they're just
they're not getting funded after 18 months. The arm changes if you're not taking advantage of the 30% tax credit. They lie, cheat, and steal. They don't have their own in-house financing. They're lying to clients about the kilowatt. It's just that industry is the Wild West. Good companies in it. There's some really bad ones in it.
Very much so. Very, very much the Wild West. Since we're on that point, I'm going to give us a little big up. We're the number one private installer in New York. We do everything in-house. We have a 4.8 Google star review. And we're NYSERDA to gold certified standard. We're basically number one in the entire Northeast. And we've done a very good job at not lying to customers. But on that point, you know, I think myself and I have a partner, Jill Sutherland, who's the VP of sales here, who have basically built this entire business on blood, sweat, and tears and, you know, no systems, no handbooks, no things on paper. And in the last 2 months, I went to Patrick but David's Sales Leadership Summit. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that event.
Yeah, I know.
So I went to that event about 2 months ago, and he was preaching the same thing of building systems and you know, handbooks and SOPs and all of that. And we've recently done things to do that. And you're so right, where I was just sitting with you before and we're looking at like optimizing email chains and texts. And he's like, bro, we need this. And I'm like, yeah, it's my job now. I realize that this is actually my job. It's not answering phone calls. It's not answering emails, things like that. It's like, how do we optimize and make this business run itself?
I have
a
quote sitting in my office that I just wrote a couple days ago. It's, you don't rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the level of your systems.
Mm.
Your job is to fire yourself, literally. How well you know, everybody's afraid of, if they don't need me, they'll probably get cut. But what if they'll tell you, you did such a great job, you'll move up? And the old cliche is, what if I train them and they leave? What happens if you train them and they stay? You know, when you talk about Google, I'm going to give you guys a couple tips. Number one, I got a buddy of mine. If you look up Consumer Fusion, Mark can remove all the bad reviews that don't follow Google's guidelines. So if you've got 20 bad reviews, now 4.8 is better than a 5.0. But a lot of these, one of your employees quits, they leave a bad review. That should not, that doesn't follow the terms and conditions. So, and then another thing, my buddy called me up. Now it's been 4 months. And you got to go directly to this site. It's called Pin, P-I-N, P-A-R-R-O-T, Pin, P-I-N, Parrot.com. And he's like, listen, I figured out a way to make Google's algorithm expand your search on your local, which is your GVP or your Google My Business. And those are where your reviews are. And I said, okay. I'm like, you figured out Google, huh? He goes, listen, it helped the algorithm. It's not like hacking into the mainframe or anything. So I said, okay, so I'll try it with 5 of my locations. Give me the price. And I said, give me Scottsdale for free. So what it does is it pulls out of your CRM and it loads in information Google wants. And it's always refreshing the data. And my VP, his name's Robert of marketing, goes, dude, what did you do in these 6 markets? And I go, what are you talking about? I forgot that even Kellen was doing it. And he goes, dude, the calls have tripled. And we've got all this locationary where you're ranking. And I go, oh, yeah, dude, my buddy Kellen with Pin Parrot was doing this stuff. And so you look at these tools. We use Power BI. We use Service Titan. We use Intact. We use the payroll system, and it feeds in through Power BI. And the tools were like, what's nice about having the podcast and doing this kind of stuff is people will call me up and they'll be like, hey, dude, I got this thing for you. Just check it out. And I say 50-50, it's either amazing or it doesn't work like they say. But the 50% that it does work, it gives me that edge. And, you know, when you're taking all your manuals and you're building out those systems, I just met the founder of Trainual. He's actually local. What I like about Trainual is you could have all this stuff organized. So if you want to figure out, it's very, very affordable. And what's super cool about it is, let's say you want your guys to learn a new process. You could show a video and actually transcribe the video and build a quiz to make sure they watched it. If they want to know about PTO, they just type in PTO. It'll bring you right to that point in the manual. If they want to ask the AI any question of the data you support, like what happens if maybe there's a different energy company that you're not familiar with. Like, what do we do in this case? As long as, and your job is, the manuals are not static. They're always changing. You're always adding to the manuals. And if you get more than 2 questions a month, it should be in the manual. But this is the kind of stuff I love to talk about. I mean, if I had to tell you guys what I specialize in is being the dumbest guy in the room. I love marketing. I love culture, and I love sales. That's where I live. Everything else I hire for. That's why I love Mondays. Yeah. Because I built my own job that I enjoy doing. I'm like, I don't do anything I don't like. I delegate it out. I find somebody that loves it. If I walked in and said, oh, damn, it's Monday again. No, I get to come in and do everything I love to do. So that's what, when you're a smaller company, you build boxes and you write in your name because you're doing all of it. And then you write in the job description and the KPIs that are affiliated with that. And then you circle in red the thing you hate the most. Oh, my God, I hate payroll. The second thing I hate is dealing with the lawyers. Okay, well, that's what really makes me hate Mondays. Hire those 2 roles first. And that's a way you can build a job that's sustainable that you'll enjoy doing for a long period of time. But they say every person wants to change every 7 years, unless you're building your company up to have different roles within it.
Incredible advice. Go ahead. You had a question? If not, I got one.
I'll rip this one. I want to change it now that you just said something there, but I'm actually just going to keep it how it was because I'm curious to know what your answer is. So this is a fun little question. You have $1 million you can spend in your business. Someone just hands you $1 million. They say you need to spend it on culture building activities, bonuses, and marketing. You got to divvy it up between the 3. How much are you spending on each of those 3? And it was culture building activities, bonuses, and marketing.
Here's what I would do. An extra $1 million comes into the business. Zero bonuses, because everybody that's got it. Here's the deal with me. You could earn ownership of my company. It's called equity incentive program or profit units. So the people that I want at the top, more specifically, I want them to have an owner next to their name. I want them rowing in the same direction and making this company worth as much money as possible. So bonuses are cool. And I give out a lot of stuff. I call them grants. I got this thing, TommyCares.com or .org, that I'll give away $25,000 a month. It's out of my own money. If your car broke down, if you need rent, if you want to take your kids to Disneyland, you know, you could, I do $1,000 a person every 3 months, you qualify for a new one. Culture, you know, we do a lot of things for culture. We feed the hungry children. That's a group here in Phoenix. We paint the YMCA. We plant trees. I think doing that stuff for the community actually builds culture. Buy a barbecue. Buy a nice one. Cook for your people. Put on an apron and actually do the stuff. People say, I can't afford that. I'm like, can you afford Bisquick from Costco? Make them pancakes. Let them eat together. Let them buy. Make the wives and kids together. And now marketing, here's the deal. I mean, I spent $2.3 million in May on marketing. So marketing is the lifeblood of any company. I think marketing is way more important than sales. Way more important than sales. Are they very, very both? They're both important. But think about it. Like, my podcast got 260,000 downloads last month. The Home Service Expert. People know me because of marketing. People give me unfair, like, because of how many jobs we get, not sales, but jobs that I get to market from marketing, the vendors chose me as their number one. They give me better pricing. I mean, I think marketing is the lifeblood of any company. I think it's more important than anything. And I think when you met your wife and when you meet a person, you're marketing. You're not selling them, you're marketing yourself. So I do consider sales highly important, but if you market to the right people, they're already buyers. The affluent people, the right avatar will always buy. You hit the right person, the right time, or the right day, they're going to buy. There's not a whole lot of sales involved. They're already looking for our product. We've got a better product. You get this B student to go sell it. They're going to sell it. So, you know, it's people that can't market really well. They got to train double down on sales. And I train on both. I mean, I've got 42 guys training right next door, brand new. The first day was yesterday. I got 50 coming to next month's class. So, and why? How did I get these great people?
Marketing.
50% of my brain is for marketing to great people. 50% is marketing to great clients. And if I can stack the deck and the people smile, they shake my hand, they tell a great story, they're active listeners, I'm going to win. I'm going to win all day long. Because now, like, I don't need to teach sales. Like, say yes, sir. Never say the most expensive option. You say the top of the line. You never say the cheapest. You just say builder grade. Well, you never say sign the contract. You say, can you okay the paperwork? These little phrases are not hard to learn. And then I teach people, just make good eye contact and try to put yourself in their shoes and do what's right. And I say, look, you know, my mom and dad got a divorce when I was 7. My mom worked 3 jobs to keep us in the same school. I used to massage her feet when she got home after her 3rd job. I love my mom more than anything. Like, she's the woman of my life. Like, there's no one closer to me than my mom. Here's what I'd be telling my mom to do if you were my mom, based on your situation.
That's truly service right there. Truly offering service to people.
This is kind of on this topic, and we talked about it before. It's slightly different than maybe what you've been asked before, but how important is a father figure in your life? In somebody's life?
Well, you look at, you know, I could go into all kinds of stats, but I think, especially as a male, I think it's important to have a mother and a father. And sometimes it's, you know, the kids can't help it. So it's super important, because like the nuclear family, to understand the concept of that. And there's always the person who's going to be more in discipline. And I think in this day and age, discipline went out the window. If you, you know, my kids are going to get spanked and they're going to get put in timeout. And that's because I love them, not because I want to be the punisher. It's because when they do something bad, you know, they need to know about it. And I'm not going to just say, oh yeah, you could be a cat in second grade and not have to drink your milk and not have to answer questions like they do in California. So I don't understand what's going on with society, but I think a family that's together, and my parents weren't, but my dad showed up. My dad still went on field trips, and my mom taught me what it was to work hard. My dad taught me how to hustle, man. My dad taught me how to smile and how to talk to girls and how to negotiate. My mom just said, no matter what you do, I mean, I'll tell you what, if I got in a really bad car accident and I hit the body and I called mom, she'd be like, Tommy, you know, I got a bad back, but I got a shovel and we're going to take care of this. She would do the love of my mother. Would it just surpasses anything. She would love me if I used to sell women's shoes at Dillard's. She'd love me no matter what. She would never, ever, ever criticize me. And that kind of love of whether it's a mother or a father, I don't think it's important to have a father in your life if he's absent. If he's just kind of there, but not there. So I was pretty fortunate. You know, I could tell you all the struggles and the tribulations, or I could tell you, man, my story is amazing. And I'm the author of my own story. And perception is everything.
Yep. I was interested to what you were going to answer that, because you were just talking about how great your mom was. So I was interested in, and I heard you before in an interview say they were divorced when they were young. So I was curious what your take was on the father figure. But anyway, back to the business side of things. So something I've recently been making more of a big deal out of in our company is the compensation structure. How important is the compensation structure and how you lay things out in your business?
So I'm going to be writing a new book called Pay Them What They're Worth. I talk a lot about performance pay in the book Elevate, Build a Business Where Everybody Wins. And the biggest question you got to ask from, pretend you're the other person and you got to ask this question, what's in it for me? And when you design the right pay structure and equity incentive program and gamification, what you get is they align more with the vision of the company. And, you know, hourly pay is for losers. It's for people that don't want more for their lives. If I meet somebody that chooses hourly or salary versus incentive pay, if I told you, listen, you can make $80,000 a year guaranteed or $150,000, and 70% of the people are making over $120,000, if you go, oh, me and my wife just need to make sure we can pay all of our bills on time, $80,000. They'll never bet on themselves. They'll never willing to really, like you tell me, listen, you'll make more money if you bet on yourself. I'll take that bet every effing day. You tell me, oh, this is secure. This is security. This is going to be good for you. Like the salesperson, the top salespeople in the company make more than I do. Not with the equity and everything, but you know, as far as what we compensate ourselves to a W-2, they make more money. And I'm okay with that. So I think performance pay to, and you can't make it quadratic, the quadratic formula and matrices and get a TI-83 calculator to figure out your pay. It needs to be something that you could explain to your significant other fairly simple. I think people overcomplicate it. And here's my best advice. If you're working with a CRM, you make the numbers work in the CRM. If that means changing your pay to where everybody can see how they got paid, it's automatically, they can hit a button in the CRM and figure out what they make. I think some people go, oh, that doesn't work for our company. Oh, the CRM company that's invested hundreds of millions of dollars that didn't decide to pay. Well, it's $7 if it's a Yelp review. It's $10 if it's a Google, $12 if it's with a picture. And then if you get Nextdoor, then a video testimony. It's like, holy shit, how do I even get paid? Like, make it simple. Keep it simple, Simon, right?
I agree. I'm just super curious because we don't have any equity side of it. We have the same thing, though. Like, our managers, I'm trying to restructure because our sales reps make a lot of money, and the managers don't make, well, they make good money, but not as much as you could if you were just a really top sales rep. So I'm trying to change the structure to be more towards the management compensation so we can continue to grow, you know? So A lot of these questions I'm asking.
Managers get security. They get to come in different hours. They get to really take time off. They get that constant money coming in. Their job is different. Typically, my managers will get, they'll earn some form of equity. And I just, it's called an equity incentive program. I've got the whole blueprint of how to build it. And until you're a certain size, you don't just start throwing out equity. But it's to drive the behavior you want. When you start with the end in mind, you reverse engineer where you need to be. I gave away, so here's our story. We were at about $7 million of EBITDA. I formed an equity incentive program, paid $300,000 to form this. And we got to $12 million, and I said, the business was worth a lot more than this, but I was very generous. And I said, so here's the business today. And it was worth $120 million, but I said $50 million. It depends on the multiple and stuff, right? Yep. So I said, I'm going to give away. I got a pool together of 30%. Doesn't mean I was given 30%, but I ended up doing 20% over the course. $12.5 million, we went 19 months to $27.5 million. Everybody was sprinting in the same direction. The multiple and arbitrage went through the roof. Lots of millionaires, 25 millionaires were made. And these guys will follow me to the pits of hell. And I could have been on the top of the mountain with a bottle of Magnum by myself somewhere, just partying and saying, dude, I made it. Now I got 25 soldiers that I'm in battle with that are running in the same direction as me. And anybody that doesn't think that that's, you know, if you got a three to five year plan or less, you need to use that tool. Now, everything up to this date is yours. That's the line. Hey, this is where the business is at today. You guys get, and you could vest it in different ways. Vest it over 5 years, so time. You could vest it on certain metrics. If this business hits, if your market gets to $3 million of EBITDA, I'll let you vest this much if you get this much. And that's what you do when you've got a plan of a 3 to 5 year plan. When you don't have a plan, you're like, first of all, if I work for you and you give me equity, I'm like, well, what's the plan? Well, we're just going to keep growing. Shoot, if you guys do really good, I might never sell. Oh, that's really motivating. You know, it's like the old story of the guy that pulls up. He pulls up to the solar job, and man, he's got a brand new G-Wagon. And this thing, the AMG, is decked out, and you guys all walk out, and you look at it, and you go, man, that's amazing. You know, I'd love to have a car like that. And he says, well, listen, you show up, you keep working as hard as you do.
I'll buy another one next year.
Buy a new one next year. Yeah, you guys have heard that.
I thought you were about to drop the line right there. I was trying to get it with you at the same time.
That's funny as shit.
I
like that structure. That's incredible. I can't believe I've never even heard of that before.
Stuff I can tell you guys about even tax law. It's like the hush secret to the wealthy know this stuff.
Well, then we'll shut up and you tell us.
Oh, like the Augusta tax rule. You guys heard of Augusta, Georgia, right?
Yeah.
I forgot what that one is. Is that the pay your kid one?
No, that's not Augusta.
So, you know, obviously, that's where the Masters is played. And in the 1970s, you had Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player. What they used to do is they'd go 3 weeks in advance to practice on the course. They'd bet their family and they'd rent out the house as well. No one was paying taxes when they rent out their house. So the IRS passed these laws. You got to pay taxes. Well, Augusta is pretty powerful. There's a lot of the who's who that go there. So it's not far from DC. They got the lobbyists and they've created this law, the Augusta tax law. They could rent out your house for 2 weeks to your company if you're really using it for whatever the rate would go. And it doesn't even need to be your primary residence. And there's some cool things you could do if you look up the Augusta tax rule. It's amazing that just these little things you do that you get write-offs for. Like right now, I got a massive amount of money in Goldman Sachs. When the stock goes down in the S&P 500, we sell it. We buy it back 30 days later. We take that loss, carry it forward against the profits. And so I'm able to beat the S&P 500 by 3 to 4 points, depending on how the market does. But you know, it's we recognize those losses and carry those forward. And that's why when you own a public company, you might buy a shell when you go public. Like for example, Blockbuster, they might have net operating losses of $100 million. Well, you could carry those losses forward for a certain amount of time. So there's some cool stuff that happens when you get the right tax lawyers along with the right financial investors that they just, it's a whole different tax guidelines, like trusts. irrevocable trust. It's just crazy what you could do. You don't pay taxes on that money until it's sold, or, you know, as long as there's a trustee involved. It's all legal. That's why when Trump had to release his taxes, they're like, they couldn't find anything wrong with them because they made the rules. They made the laws. Uh-huh. And rich people don't want to get rid of them.
That's the famous line in the one debate where he's like, where he's talking to Hillary and he says that I use the same laws that you created.
Yeah, you made them available.
How important is it to have level 10 players in your business? I think for us, you know, bringing in one level 10 top sales guy is worth almost 15 salespeople. Like one level 10 top of the food chain guy is worth a whole sales team to me.
Okay, so I've always said the line 1A equals 3B. 1A player could run circles. They'll earn more than 3B players. The best employees are great. They take you straight to the top. Bad employees get fired. Good employees, they are the worst because they kind of just roll along. They're never the best. They're never the worst. They never really break the rules, but they never really get you ahead. So the worst employee is a good employee. Bad employees fall off quickly. Great employees take you straight up. So the question should be, what are the characteristics of 10 out of 10? And you might have to learn, did you come from a single mom? Did you go to college? Do you hang out at comedy? What's your favorite Facebook channel? Do you listen to what kind of music? Like, when you learn these attributes and you can build these similarities and you learn where you're targeting, no longer are you hiring, you're recruiting. And hiring means you put something on Indeed, Glassdoor, you know, Monster and Craigslist. Recruiting means they've already got a job. You've used data to find out that and then you actually give them a sign-on bonus to recruit them. And then you'll get a lot more tens.
Interesting.
Got it. I think we've done a good job at that. I think the recruiting side has been well. Almost all of our, I have about an 80 person sales team, and almost all of them have come from just organic recruiting. And I don't have nearly as much of a following as you on social media, but a lot of people see what we're doing. They see our incentives, our bonus structures, whatever it is, and they come onto the business. And like you said, I think that's the easiest and best way to get high quality talent because they come to you. You know, it's the same with your leads too. We talk all the time about the referral game in selling. If you build a referral business, if your business is 70% referral based, your job is super easy. So how important are referrals in your business? Do you guys get a lot of referrals?
We do, but if people are like, I'm up to my ears in referrals, like I said, I got 42 guys next door. What does that mean? They each want to run 4 calls a day. What's 40 times 4? That means I got to generate 160 new leads per day when they get home. You're not going to be able to do that referral only. You know, there's this thing called affiliate marketing. It's amazing. I believe by the end of this year, our affiliate marketing will be bigger than all the other leads combined. And it's not easy to build. There's a lot of aspects, but there's three categories of affiliates. There's the affiliate network. Usually if you get into a network like Ambassador, there's hundreds of thousands of affiliates. And if you pay right, those powerhouse affiliates will start working under you. They get paid per lead, or they get paid for a certain phone call for a certain amount of time, or however you want it, whatever you have the most success with. The next bubble is your influencers. It could be, you know, guys like Andy Elliott. It could be guys like, it could be Property Brothers. You know, you find your best affiliates. They feed you work by just endorsements. The next one is your ambassadors, and that is your employees and your clients. Those are three separate buckets that need three different go-to-market strategies. And most people don't realize that, and they try to do it all at once, and they don't pay, and no one really believes it because they see there's no really attribution models built to it. So, you know, what's interesting is Patrick Fitzdavid, Pat David. I think he's worth $600 million on paper with his insurance company. You know, I don't do as many events, and I don't, you know, and it's great. I do plenty of events, but my goal is to be, before I'm 50, I'm 41, to be worth $20 billion. On paper, 700 a day, 20 months from now, it'll be 1.5 with billion in the bank. And I just look at this, and Patrick Pat David is somebody that I would listen to. But the moral of the story is there's so many people listening to people of guys renting a Ferrari that are living with their moms, that they sell good stuff, but none of it really works. And they say those that can't make it in the real world, they teach. Now, I like teaching because I like to hire a lot of staff and they like to get paid. I should say I like to sell stuff, you know, whether it's, I lose money on a lot of the stuff. But I definitely, when I shake your hand, I come through with what I say I'm going to do. And we're making lots and lots of millionaires. I mean, and I would caution, word to the wise is be very careful who you're listening to. I'd really want to back, like, look, if anybody wants to see, I can back up everything I talk about. I mean, I would not broadcast my financials, but if they came in, I could show them last year's tax and what we did as a business. Like, this isn't a joke. And there's a lot of people that embellish and they lie and they try to sell their products because it's a great little 30, 40 grand a month. It's great. You know, that's $500,000 a year. But I just say, be very careful who you're listening to, because most of them, 9 out of 10, are frauds.
100%.
We've seen a couple of them.
Yeah, we interviewed a couple of them. all right. Why don't you go ahead with your last question? Go ahead.
I'm actually really interested to hear what yours is, because you're quite a concise guy. At the end of the day, what is your message to everyone out there?
Here's something that I usually like to tell people is, until you got a vision of where you're going, it's really, really hard, because you're constantly changing your vision. So what I did in 2016 is I had to think really long and hard. I pondered on, what's the one industry that's so far ahead of everybody? So I said, who has the most private jets? HVAC, plumbing, electrical, HVAC. So I found every $100 million shop. I made a list. I figured out the phone numbers, and I humbly reached out. And not one of them said no. I was a small garage door guy. They said, come on out. But I didn't just ask them. I said, I'm a big fan. I read your books. I follow you guys. You are just my hero. I'd love to come out. I promise you I won't be a nuisance. I want you to sign my book. I'm going to buy the whole company lunch. And so I got to see what it was like. And I got to sit down with the CFO, the CMO, the VP of corporate development, all these different things. And I took notes and I implemented. And so I made this available. If anybody wants to come out to Phoenix, I don't charge for it. I promise you there's no hidden agenda. This is me paying it forward. It's TommyMello.com/shop. And you'll get to see what goes on in this place. And the air is different. It's like just productivity and the right project management. But here's one other thing I'll say is I just got baptized 2 weeks ago. I've always been a man of faith, but I had to do that. You know what it says when the oxygen pops down, the oxygen masks? In a plane, what does it say? What do the people say, the pilot?
Help you before you help the person next to you.
You're not going to be able to help anybody if you're fat, if you're out of shape, if you're out of breath, if you're tired all the time, if you can't stay focused, if you're just ADHD and all over the place because you haven't slept. So look in the mirror and take complete accountability for yourself and get yourself right. Get yourself right with God, with your family, with your coworkers, and start taking care of this temple. Because you could be so much more productive if you ate the right food, the organic food. It's fuel, it's rocket fuel if you put the right stuff in. Your brain is the most powerful thing in the world. It's crazy. And just take care of yourself. And when something goes wrong, don't blame other people, blame yourself. When something goes right, pat yourself on the back. But I just think too many people, they got every reason why they're not going to succeed. I focus on what I can control versus what I can't control. Can't control the traffic, can't control Israel, can't control Ukraine. I control getting up and working out and making my bed and brushing my teeth. I don't focus on the past, I focus on the present. Can't change the past. There's a lot of people that live in the past. They blame the past for everything going wrong with them. You can change who you hang out with. If you don't have a circle that you really get motivated by, it's called a cage. You're stuck and you're going to be held down. And I just think a lot of people, they just, They've got every excuse of why they can't start today. So I say this. You see him one day? One day, one day, one day, or is today day one? And the magic you're looking for, the magic you're looking for today is in the work you're avoiding. Because I know a lot of you guys out there that are listening are like, yeah, I know I need to eat better, but I got my daughter's little bar mitzvah coming up in 2 weeks. And then we got this trip to Cancun. And then after that, oh yeah, well then it's this holiday. And then start. Just start right now. And come visit whenever you want. And I'll show you guys a great time. I'm an open book.
I might have to take you up on that. That's a powerful message. There was a lot in there.
People always ask me, there's no real secrets in life. I think the biggest thing is motivation dies, discipline lives forever. If you could keep doing these hard things, you keep doing things that you don't want to do. It's a muscle that you flex. And it just, I'm living proof. I am a broke dude from Detroit without my family having much. And I just, if I could do it, I really believe anybody could do it, but they lack the discipline. They lack, you know what happens? You start making money and you're like, dude, we've always wanted a Harley. We've always wanted that vacation house. We've always wanted to take the kids to Jamaica. A little bit of discipline. Watch that money compound in your account. People start making money in the solar industry. They go, we deserve this. We've worked so hard for so many years. We deserve. I just say, doesn't your future self deserve the compound interest of what that could explode into? One last little thing here. I've got an event coming up. I'd love to have you guys there. And this isn't, I'm not trying to do self-promotion. I got Jocko. I'm a big fan of Jocko Discipline. I got Steve Sims. If you ever read the book Blue Fishing, it's insanely amazing. Keith Mercurio, Sebastian with Rilla Voice. If you want to learn how to double your solar sales, you got to learn what Rilla Voice is and come see him. I got Alan Rohr. If you don't understand financials, she wrote a book called Where Did the Money Go? It's on Amazon. It's a quick read. It teaches you financials and it's simple. I've got my buddy Ryan Fenn from Chirp. If you're not literally following up 23 times on estimates, all I promise you guys, if you come to this event, it's September 25th through the 27th in San Diego. If you do not get your mind blown and just change your perspective on your life, then I will promise you, I will gladly give you your money back. Gladly. I lose money on the event. This isn't some massive opportunity for me to sell you guys some type of stupid ass course. This is the real deal. And I do believe my job, I was put on this planet, number one, to help people find Jesus. Number two is to make them successful in business.
I love that.
There's such this awakening to God lately. I love it.
I literally, me and my wife.
You just went to
the same thing. We just got baptized, just got married in our church, little church right in our area. So it's just funny how this keeps happening on all these Zoom calls to me and us now.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been so present in our lives, and I love it. I'm very happy to hear you say that after this long conversation for it to end there. It's such a beautiful thing.
I'm going to make one last note just on this, what we're talking about. I think when times get really, really bad, which they are now, that's when people turn to God. And that's why there's this massive awakening and shift in the entire world that we're seeing that is showing signs about God, Jesus, whatever it is that you believe in, but obviously God and Jesus. So anyway, insane.
I want more information on that event, dates, times. Maybe you email that over. We'll follow up with you.
We'll email it over. I'll make sure Giuseppe, my amazing videographer right there, the Italian stallion, the bald eagle.
Giuseppe, my boy.
Where's the event in Phoenix?
It's in San Diego. If you go to freedomevent.com.
There it is.
Got it.
Pull that open.
All right, cool. Well, Tommy, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for coming on the podcast. I'm glad we got to connect, and we'll stay in touch.
Hey, listen, if I'm ever, I want to make sure I get your cell phone numbers. And where exactly is that in New York?
So Poughkeepsie's about an hour and a half outside of New York City.
Straight north, follow the Hudson River. We're right there.
Okay.
little city.
Well, listen, you guys are more than welcome to come visit in Phoenix. It's probably not the best time when the heat is all the way turned up, but love to have you guys out. I think you'd really enjoy yourselves. Love to see you in San Diego. I'm not selling tickets here. I could care less. Like, I think it's going to be a transformation for a lot of people. And I just get to know you guys more. I appreciate it, Zach and Tony.
Yeah, man. Thank you. I can tell the authenticity for sure. So keep doing what you're doing, and we'll stay in touch, man. Thank you.
All right. You guys take it easy. Thank you.
Later.
Take care, brother.
Yeah.